Wednesday, and for those that cannot attend in person, we don't want you to be left out. We're not throwing stones at you. We're embracing you and loving you, and so glad that you. Church, can you welcome the other that are online tonight? We've never done that, and we needed to. Thank you. Those that will even be watching delayed later. We've been on a specific topic for the past two Wednesdays concerning the tongue, the words that we say, and those things. So I realize that since we've spent a couple of weeks on this by now, I assume that we've surely all mastered the control of our tongues. Wait a minute. If you have, would you go ahead and please raise your hand? I did see one hand. I'm not even going to call them out, okay? But I do not have my hand up. And if you are one of the ones tonight that need no more teaching or training on this issue, just humor me tonight as I try to grow. And maybe you can walk a little farther with me in this area tonight. This is the third installment, part three of Stick Out Your Tongue and Say, Ah. That. Just go ahead and help somebody out there. Say, ah. Ah. Okay. Those instructions that we shared just now, there may be more to these instructions than just a preliminary medical exam. Because as we've been journeying together on these few weeks, we've seen biblically that our tongues have a direct connection to our hearts. Not the cardiac muscle that pumps your blood. What I mean is that scripturally, what comes out of our mouths is a reflection of what we have in our hearts. Have we established that? Does everybody kind of know that already? Well, these weeks that we've been doing this, at least. Have you ever spoken something out of your mouth and whether immediately or later you truly regretted it? I have blurted out stuff. And you immediately want to go, bring it back. Did y'all know that that doesn't work? You just go out there. I remember a specific time. It was years ago. That God allowed a situation. Allowed. I don't mean it was his will, but you know, what he did allow in his will was to reveal something in my heart. That was words spoken out of my mouth. And I didn't have to stick out my tongue and say off to know something was out of order there. I knew there were. Thank God for Holy Spirit alarm that'll go off on the inside at times. Anybody here have the Amber Alert set up on your phone? And it makes that horrendous siren. Wow, you know, don't you? Wouldn't it be cool if God would just hook one of those to our heart and the phone, and we're just about to go there, and we hear that whoop, whoop, whoop. Says, some of your phone would be dead already, wouldn't it? The battery's just going off, and that's, maybe I know I said about you, maybe it should be me. Outside of God's will, if we had an alarm that said, let me just suggest to you that we sort of have an alarm. And it won't sound like an Amber Alert, but getting out of the will of God, and there's a warning system on the inside by the Holy Spirit. That day, and though, again, that was years ago, it's not the last time that I've done something really dumb. I just rather talk about something that happened a long time ago than something more currently. But my experience years ago, there were words that I'd spoken in anger and in disrespect and hurtfulness and ugliness, really, and what it spoke so loudly to me. I can tell you, I recall where I was standing. It was I can be honest on Wednesday nights. On Sundays, I can't be honest, but tonight I can. I'm kidding. I'm going to be honest that time too. But I was speaking to my dad. I was probably about 26 years old, and I remember rudeness and. And that, those things that were spoken out of ugliness, what they did was they spoke so loudly of me, to me. There's stuff that I had just some way let abide in my heart that I didn't know was there. And let me clarify this. I, I didn't use profanity. I didn't use curse words, what we call curse words. But don't ever be too quick to give yourself a pass because you didn't do that. There's lots of ugly that can come out that doesn't include profanity, amen? And when we wound with our mouths, including that other stuff, and I repented to God, and I repented to my dad, and if he wasn't already in heaven and was here tonight, he probably wouldn't even remember that because it was gone with him. God taught me something in that time, and I don't mean that I've perfected that at all, but I just, again, as we've been going over these scriptures over these last few weeks and seeing the reflection that will come out of our mouths, it's a mirror of what we let be here. And when the mirror comes in front of us and God says, I want you to see this, then we have to respond to that, don't we? And I want, again, I'd like to say that's the last time I sinned with my mouth and tongue, but it wasn't. But what I'm understanding, if I will continue to allow God to have access to the fountain of my heart, then what comes out is going to be different from what it was before. Amen. I agree with that for your own self. Yeah, enough about me. I want to talk about y'all now. I'm kidding. This is a big deal. And as we go forward, I really think God wants to transform some things that way. Perhaps we shouldn't rely really on just self-assessment. We could do an interview. If I could do an interview with the five closest people to you and question that over this past week, what does that reflection look like? I don't know. But sometimes we almost need to set ourselves back and say, God, what does that look like in my verbiage and all that? I want to just share a few verses tonight. I will actually, I think, really be brief in this devotional time tonight. But Proverbs 16:24 from NIV says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And what I needed to ask myself, are my words bringing sweetness to others and healing to their very structure of their lives? Words, by this scripture, they have such great potential. And they're available for us to use. He said, read it with me one time. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Now, I think a good metaphor for our tongue, a symbol of that, is probably a hammer that I got from Roy's shop. So, this hammer is a tool. Stick out your tongue and say, that's a tool. I'm not going to hit you on the tongue. And just, that's a tool. This tool can be used constructively. It can build stuff, right? It may not build really good stuff in my hand, but some people here, it can build really cool. It can help do that. So this is a tool to construct. But if I take this and I ain't getting going to think about that. But this is, hit that glass, it would be a tool of destruction. So is this little member in our mouths. It can construct, it can equip, it can build up, or it can cause something so negative in people's lives. The scripture is so firm on this. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What comes out of our lives and out of our mouths has the power to release life or release death. If we use our tongues properly, they'll be like fruitful trees, life-producing, life-enhancing fruit that comes that way. But if we use our tongues, that tool, improperly, the result can be shades of death that are released to others, to the dreams, to the value of a person. Words have that ability, life and death, what's coming out. It can be death to tenderness. When people that have built up the calluses after hearing words, and maybe it was from childhood on, but no longer able to express emotion and tenderness because death has come. But I'm telling you, God will turn that around. He's the one that can bring life out of ashes and out of that darkness. But it seems that whichever way we use the tongue, look at the last part of verse 21, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It seems that whichever way we choose to use our tongues, that we're going to eat the fruit of that. Whether bitter or sweet. Man, I want the sweetness to start coming forth more readily, more easily. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 4. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Do not let this weapon just go off randomly. We are responsible. We will be even more responsible after tonight as we see what the Word of God says. Again, maybe it's words spoken over our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, friends, singles that are here, people in other levels of relationship with you. We will be eating the fruit of what we're delivering, life and death. Wholesome tongues, a tree of life. Perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Let's not be spirit breakers. Let's be spirit builders. But with truth and balance from God's word. The word wholesome here, or wholesome tongue, it's a word from the Hebrew that means healing or a cure. What power? That life and the power of the tongue. But perverseness, it said, what it says in verse 4, perverseness means crookedness, or it means twisted or distorted words. As we said, things coming out of our mouth can cause a breaking or a crushing or a ruining in the spirit. The Hebrew root word there, it's also translated overthrow. Let me free some of you up in this area and department, as I think I probably shared almost this same statement a couple of weeks ago. But again, release you. You do not have to say everything that comes to your mind. Your friends will thank you that you don't. Your family and close ones will appreciate your ability to exercise restraint. I am so very aware that not every thought I have is from God. And in case you're not aware of it, every thought you have is not from God either. And some of those, again, just don't need to be repeated or rehearsed at all out loud. Dave Kovic, I think, mentioned it on Sunday evening along this line. We've got twice as many ears as we do mouths. So we probably should spend twice as much time listening as we do talking. Do the math. It works out that way. A definitive word from the Bible is Ecclesiastes 5, verse 3, the second half of that. It says, a fool's voice is known by his many words. Sometimes it's best, again, not to say something, especially if our motives may have mixture in them. Maybe just because we have an opinion doesn't mean we need to say what that opinion is. Or it's really quiet on this Wednesday night. Are we okay? We still okay? It's sometimes better to keep those things to ourselves until we have at least a more clear direction from God, His permission to give our opinion or thought there. So the interesting and yet instructive scripture in Proverbs 17:28, it said, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. Somebody just got a promotion. You don't even know it, do you? If we'll just be quiet. So even fools are thought wise. I'm speaking to myself. Now, when they keep silent, with their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Can you believe that's in the Bible? Can you believe God just comes right and says that? My dad's had an old saying, and I don't even know why it sticks with me. He said, better, and now reflecting on it, he may have really meant this for me to receive this. He probably did. He said, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Just some old-timey philosophy, I guess. It adds truth to it. Somebody look over at somebody sitting close to you and stick out your tongue and say, okay, we exam time tonight. Proverbs 6, verse 16, there are six things that the Lord hates. I know I held up 10, that is not my counting. Now six. Six things the Lord hates. No, seven things that he detests. It's a Hebrew way of emphasis here. Verse 17, haughty eyes, meaning pride, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family or among brethren. Three of those things that are listed of these seven things that God's word says he hates relate to what is said, to speaking. It says a lying tongue, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows or plants or lets loose strife among brothers, division, dissension is what that means. Probably one of the more common ways that dissension is stirred up is by that, by words. So look at this contrast as much is revealed and accomplished by words too. Look at the boundaries that God has here. Ephesians 4 verse 1, therefore, Paul says this, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, a prisoner of the Lord, one translation would read, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. Listen, it's really important, and the truth was brought out about identity earlier in worship, is understanding who you are, child of God. You walk worthy of that calling. Whatever the past has been, thank God it's in the past. And look over at someone and tell them, you're called. You're called. See, if we've responded to the call of God, then we are what's called the called. It qualifies that. As you're going forward, Paul says, lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Look at five things with me. Verse 2, always be humble. Number one was be humble. Number two is be gentle. Always be humble and gentle. You say, well, that's just not my nature. It's the nature of Jesus in us. We draw either out of our own carnal nature, or we out of the nature of Jesus in you as a believer, as a Jesus follower. Number three, be patient with each other. Somebody say patient. Patient, patient with each other. Number four is making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Actually, the Greek word that's translated into that phrase, the words that are translated there, making allowance for each other, it means put up with each other. Literally, put up with. Some of you thought of somebody right about that time, didn't you? I'm putting up. Listen, for whoever you're putting up with and however many of those number in your world, realize some folks are having to put up with us too. So put up with each other. Or as he said, make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. It's a real powerful scripture there. Number five in verse 3 is make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Make every effort. That is a word that means to strive after. It means to be earnest about, to give all diligence. Literally, I can just say work at it. If we're going to have unity in this place, it won't be because we're all doing our own thing and in our feelings all the time. It will be because we're working at it. I don't mean to, this is being very honest on a Wednesday evening. And there are things that I probably do that get on your nerves. And I'm thankful for your love that makes allowances for and puts up with. But you know what? If we're going to have a harmony and a unity as we continue to go forward, it'll be because you're working at it. Just go ahead and say amen. It's okay. Amen. Because he said to, that's the instruction. Paul's writing by the Holy Spirit to the church at Ephesus and to us, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Work at it. Working at this. And the peace of God, binding together, refers to ligaments of the body. Look again at godly guardrails that are laid out in the Word. Ephesians, still the same chapter in Ephesians, verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of each other. Don't lie. Don't lie. Just obviously right there. Verse 29, drop to there. Very constructive way. He says, from the New King James, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That's decaying. It would include obscene and things like that. But let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But say that last part with me. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That is a powerful phrase, and I've overlooked it so many times reading that verse. Words that we speak have the ability to impart grace to somebody else. The strength of God, the power of God. To believers, we ought to be that to one another. And outside of just this body, this fellowship, to impart grace to the hearers. Let's look at it from the New Living Translation, the same verse 29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words, say it with me, will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Yes, hallelujah. Or somebody, you may be around very disgruntled people. That doesn't mean that you have to be participating in their disgruntledness. Rather, you be the one that sets the standard differently, because God's the one raising the standard in us. Now, I don't know how we all may be using our tongues, but if we say, God, examine my words. And going forward after tonight, I'm gonna start winding this up, but I want to look at the healing of the tongue. And actually, Becky, do you mind slipping back up here? I know you haven't been gone long, but we're gonna do this thing, because I wanna look at three things tonight. A three-point process. I don't want to say points like steps, but consider these three things, and let God heal our mouths beginning this Wednesday night. Amen. We're gonna get serious about it, aren't we? Though, even if I. Amen is low, it's okay, because God is still going to, okay. Amen. There's that Amber Alert going off when we start to go out. Pull it back. Three things. Number one, call the misuse of the tongue what it is, sin. Just call it what it is. Again, whether it's gossip or it's profanity or speaking out of line with or contrary to God's word, or if it's lying. Heard about a pastor, this was years ago, I heard him tell the woman who came into his office and said something like this, Pastor, I just have such a problem with exaggeration. I mean, I've cried buckets of tears over this thing. You see it? He said, here's your cure. Call it what it is, lying. Call it what it is and quit it. If you misname it, I'm embellishing the truth a bit. I'm just enhancing the story a bit. I realized I knew a preacher years ago, and I'd hear some of the stories he told. Is that true? Maybe it got bigger over time. In Christian circles, you know, when you sometimes call it speaking evangelistically. It stretches out there. How many people? I can tell you that we are turning thousands of people here. They turn right out there on the highway. There they go to Walmart and they go different ways, but we're not the people that come here. You see what I'm saying? Let's speak the truth. Don't misuse the tongue with what it is. Maybe it's not lying that's an issue to you. Maybe it's manipulation. And I just say that sometimes people use their tongues in order to intimidate and get our own way. Maybe it's the volume of the words they're speaking, wear it down. Maybe it's intimidation by using your words to demonstrate your intellectual ability or whatever to intimidate somebody. You know, I gotta pull that back in. Got the alarm go off. Here's a question for each of us to ask ourselves at this examination: am I bringing life with my tongue, or am I bringing death? Am I picking up, or am I putting down this way? In our homes when nobody else is listening, nobody else on the outside is looking except the people we live with, how's that look to us? Life or death? Maybe on our jobs when it's just maybe the rough guys around or the women that are rough, depending on where you work and all that. what does that look like to us? Are we the one lifting up life? Are we getting in the mud with some of the other conversations? When it comes out of our mouth, we should recognize it's a reflection of what's in our heart in abundance, what I treasure in my heart. And I want to guard that. I don't want to be quick to go there. And it's so easy for me to get there. I don't want to keep going there. So call the misuse of the tongue what it is, which is sin. We saw that the tongue is like the rudder of a ship, and it'll turn the whole ship. So God set a guard over my tongue there, as we've prayed on, last Wednesday night together. Call the misuse of the tongue what it is, sin. Number two, confess our sin, receive forgiveness and cleansing. Listen, sometimes we just need to be honest and real with God and ourselves and others around us. Confess our sin, receive forgiveness and cleansing. You may say, well, I didn't go get drunk. I didn't shoot up. I wasn't sexually immoral. Just my mouth. Words, things that were there. But just, we need to be real with God, because He already knows even the wellspring of our hearts. 1 John 1 verse 7, just a promise. This applies to so much more than just our speech, but 1 John 1 verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. In the Greek, that's a present active word. It means now. I walk in the light and now He's cleansing. I walk in the light and now I'm not running back into the dark. Walk in the light. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I told somebody today that I was going to church before I was born, and that was the truth. In my mom's womb, I was already going to church. And what? I still had to have a relationship with Jesus for me. Mama's relationship, daddy, grandpa's relationship, none of that brought me into that relationship with Jesus. So in my own life, it was that. Now, thank God I could say this. So confess our sin, receive forgiveness and cleansing. Verse 9 of 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a beautiful promise of God. If there's only one verse you can remember tonight, that's a beautiful one. If we confess our sins, it's a combination of Greek words. It means to say the same thing as. I agree with God about my sin. Involved in this is forsaking it. But if we confess our sins, agree with God, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's a specific Greek word that's used, translated forgive, and it means to send away. It's not like I put masking tape over it and I can't see it anymore. To forgive us our sins, that word means to send away. It's the word that's used when it talks in the Bible, New Testament, where it talks about a husband divorcing his wife, sending away. Do you know that God wants to do that in us? If we confess our sins, God, my mouth, confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, that sending away, and to, say that word with me, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He didn't say, okay, you take an 18-month course and then you'll be in shape and I can really cleanse you. No, that ongoing work of His Spirit, that's for now. He forgives us. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, because see, a cleansed heart will produce clean lips too. A cleansed heart with the life spring of His fountain, it'll produce what comes out differently. It'll be right. Then beyond just tonight dealing with those things, and we want to between us and God before we leave this place. But number three is then refuse sin and yield to God. We're talking in the context of our words, our tongues, our mouths. Both these things are important, and this is much broader than that, but refuse sin, yield to God. Have you ever noticed that God generally will not gag you when you are fixing to say something that you shouldn't say? He will generally not make you go mute at that time. I know some of us wish he had sometimes, if I just would have not. But he won't do that. But I'm going to tell you that he has given us the equipping to deal with that area. Actually, see, there's a part that we have to play with that. We're a partnership in God. And this is the key, I think, here. Romans 6, verse 12, we'll read three verses here. Romans 6, verse 12, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign or rule, dominate in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust or its desires. Don't let sin. Don't let. Who's responsible? Is that God? He said, you, the unspoken subject there is you, me. Don't let, don't allow. It means don't yield to, don't present ourselves for this. Verse 13, again, repeat verse 13. Do not, what? Are you there? Verse 13, are we there yet? Romans 6, 13. Do not let, I think it's hidden at the top of the screen. It says, trust me, you can read it later. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. That includes this part of my body that's between my teeth. Instead, he said, give yourselves completely to God. God's not taking it. He said, you give, I give. Don't yield my body, present my body to be an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give ourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life, child of God. That's the element that we walk in. You have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Does that include our mouths? Include our words that we speak? Absolutely. Verse 14, here's good news again. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law, the external, outside, in things. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. You see it again? The freedom of God's grace. I think I said it in a different way, maybe Sunday or last week, but grace of God, the way this works, the freedom of God's grace, we're not free to do whatever we want to do, but we are free to do what we ought to do. That is good news. Amen. Can you throw that up there as well? We're not free to do whatever we want to do, but we are free to do what we ought to do. I need one amen right there. So what if my mouth wants to go off? I'm not free to do that. But I'm free to say no to it. I'm free to not yield to that. One last scripture, and broadens the equation right here, because I don't know. I suspect there may be other temptations that are targeting some folks here besides words that we speak and the attitudes that we express them with and all of that. But this is a broad coverage scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He'll not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it, walk through it successfully. Thank God. Thank God. So I don't know if God had me go down this path tonight. He knows what kind of Thursday you're going to have at work. Maybe it's the equipping that tonight that sets us up for whatever. Listen, let's do this thing. Because when out of the wellspring of life flow in our hearts, that God is going to use your mouth. The Bible says in Romans 10, how can they hear except somebody speak to them? We're dispensers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us speak words of life, words of truth, encouragement, sometimes words of reproof, words of rebuke where we have authority, and words exposing wrong where we're supposed to. The Bible talks about that too. But Lord, purify my methods and purify my motives. Can I hear an amen if you want to apply that to yourself? Would you stand up with me tonight? I'm going to, if prayer partners have your mask tonight, and you're, and if you felt like I want somebody to pray with me and you could feel comfortable in that setting, then I will ask some ministry partners, prayer partners, to come and be here. No pressure to do this. I just, some feel good with that and others won't, and that's okay either way. But I want to make an invitation to you that it's not about cleaning our lives up, cleaning our mouths up, cleaning our behavior up, and then coming to Christ and say, okay, here I am. Really, in this past week, spoke with a young man, and that's really what he was thinking. I'm going to get my life in order. He said, Dad, precious man, but I'm going to get my life in order, and then I'm coming to the Lord. And it was somebody else sharing with me as well, and he said, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. Aren't you glad for that? This grace endowment of God, this empowering of God on the inside of us, when we are real with Him, I come to you, I call it what it is. I call my sin, my own independence from God. I repent of that. I receive what Jesus did on the cross, by His blood. He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me, to divorce us from those things in our past that were binding us, that we were married to. I don't mean a natural marriage, but things that were controlling our lives, and we got in covenant with the wrong stuff. God, He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we go forward tonight. Some people just in this room, I believe God's been pulling you to a starting over point. Yeah. A new beginning. Would you close your eyes right where you're standing? A new beginning with Him. Maybe it has nothing to do with words that have been spoken. There's some in here that we do need to deal with that ourselves. Between ourselves, God, go ahead and do that. If you're not made this surrender to Jesus, either for the very first time or starting this journey over in the Lord, I want this to be your invitation to do it tonight. Don't wait till another night. Don't wait till another time. Don't wait till some other things come into play. Here tonight, and you say, I either want to start over with the Lord or start for the very first time. I'm not going to embarrass you or single you out, but would you just slip your hand up? Let me acknowledge you. If you're starting over, starting for the very first time, this journey in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Are there some that would say, tonight, I want to let God have control in my mouth, over my mouth, in a way that I've not yielded to yet? I want Him to grow me in that. Can I? My hands are up first. Lord, would You do it in us? As we worship Him, would You take a few more moments, and as we worship the Lord tonight, just again, if you want to come, you want to kneel before the Lord, you're welcome to do that. If you want somebody to minister with you, you're welcome to come and do that. But let's worship Him together. Take 3 or 4 minutes right here and just let the exchange happen.